Well, let's pray. Pray for me. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to our hearts tonight. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would just take this word, Lord, and put it deep in our hearts. I pray, Father, that it would change us. Lord, that it would impact our lives, that it might impact a generation. Father, I ask for your help tonight. I know apart from you, I can do nothing. And so, Lord, I just pray you use me tonight. Lord, and every person receive what you have for them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So, tonight, I want to just begin sharing with you about the vision of Grace Church. You know, we won't fulfill a vision if we don't know what it is. Our vision is to reach our generation by making disciples through personal relationships and strong children and youth ministries. Now, you got to know what the vision is, but you also have to keep it before you. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So we need to know what the vision is, and we need to keep it before us. And I have to admit that sometimes I haven't done a very good job of keeping that before us as a body. But I want to do that tonight. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. In the the New King James, it puts it this way, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now, that is the NIV. There's the King James, where there's no revelation. Yeah, the people cast. I got it right, didn't I? I told y'all to pray for me. Some of y'all didn't pray. But I want to paraphrase it between the two translations, is that without a vision, without that revelation of what we're supposed to do, we just end up wandering aimlessly until we waste away. And I want to tell you that churches that don't have a vision for the lost always waste away. Sometimes it takes decades. Sometimes it might even take over 100 years. But I'm just telling you, eventually, they just waste away. It's just a matter of time. Our vision for our personal lives and as a church should always be based on God's word. If it's not, well, then our vision is just man's idea, and it won't matter in eternity. Jesus himself gives his people a vision, a goal, a purpose. We call it the Great Commission, and I want to read it to you. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Our vision has to be based on Jesus commission for the church. And here's what he said, go make disciples. In one way or another, I'm telling you, every church needs to have fulfilling that commission as part of their vision. We want to see lives changed. You know, we want more than just for somebody to come to church for a little while and then go back to their same old life. We want to see people's lives completely changed where they're never the same again. We want to see people really living for God, serving God, being blessed of the Lord. In fact, to put it just in a scriptural way, as Jesus said, we want to see people become disciples. It's really interesting how things happen in church culture, but in our day and time, we call believers Christians. That's what we're known as, and that's how we refer to believers. We We call them Christians. And that's not a bad thing. And it certainly is in the Bible a couple of times. Did y'all get that? It wasn't a term that believers came up with, actually. But you know what Jesus called believers? You know what Jesus called his followers? You know what the New Testament calls the followers of Jesus over and over and over? Disciples. And in our day and time, there are a lot of people who, frankly, may be Christian by some definition, but they are not disciples. Because to be a disciple means you become like the master, that's your goal. That's what you're going for. That's what you're after. And I got to tell you that disciples make disciples. Jesus told his disciples, you go make disciples. Preach the gospel. Be witnesses of him. He said, I will build my church. See, it's his plan. You know, most churches eventually become inward-minded. It's real easy to turn that way. In fact, if we don't hold ourselves accountable to the Word of God, if we don't keep our hearts open to the Lord, allow him to deal with us about what we're talking about tonight, I'm just telling you, it's just kind of a human nature where we grow inward, where we start thinking about what we like and what we want and how we like. Listen, it needs to be about what he wants. And what he wants is for us to be reaching the lost. He cares about a lost and dying world. We want to reach the lost, the unchurched. And our focus is not to maintain. Our goal is not to keep the saints satisfied. And if you go home tonight and you say in the car, I just don't think I like that message. I'm talking about you. Well, I liked it until he said that. Listen, our vision is to reach our generation by making disciples through personal relationships and strong children and youth ministries. That's about as concise as we can make it. We could make it 10 pages long. You know, it's easy to add to that and just, you know, include everything. But that's just keeping it concise. Let me just put it in even simpler terms. We'll just start with the beginning. Our vision is to reach people. We want to reach people. We want to reach people for Jesus. And here's the thing about reaching people. You can't reach people if you don't reach. By the way, just let me clarify. When I say our vision is to reach our generation, I'm not saying that Grace Church is going to reach the whole world by ourselves. But I'm saying that our vision is to do our part. That in our sphere of influence and the opportunities that God gives us and the abilities that he gives us, that we want to do all that we can to reach our generation. But we can't reach people if we don't reach. So are you reaching? We need to get this picture in our mind. You know, if someone is reaching, they've got their hands out. That's how you reach. I mean, whether it's a little one reaching up to mom and dad or mom and dad reaching down to the little one, we know what reaching is. And you see, we need to get that in our minds that we're supposed to be reaching out to people. We're supposed to reach the world, and to do that, we gotta reach. I'm not talking about physically reaching. I'm talking about in the attitude of our heart. I'm talking about in our actions, in our words. We need to be reaching out to people. You know, none of us would hesitate to reach out to a child that had fallen into the swimming pool and was drowning. In fact, well, most of us wouldn't just reach, we'd jump in with them, wouldn't we? And yet, in our lives, all around us in our world, there are people that are drowning. Drowning in depression, drowning in some kind of financial need, people that are drowning in bitterness, people that are drowning in some kind of old bondage or dead religion, drowning in sin, addiction, just drowning in emptiness. I'm telling you, they're all around us. You don't have to go very far to see somebody in need. It's that time of year, you know, when you go to the mall or you go to the store and you can see people everywhere. They're running to and fro and they're so busy, but so many of them have desperate needs in their life. And how many we reach is determined by our reach. Every church and every person has a sphere of influence and a potential. You need to understand, though, that when we reach, we're extending that sphere of influence. When we reach, we're enlarging our borders. When we reach, we're reaching our potential. We're doing what God wants us to do. Reaching. It's an action verb. It's not passive. And it's very intentional. So I want you to think about this in regard to touching other people's lives. It's something that you very intentionally do. It's not something that, you know, well, if just something comes on me. No, it's something that you intentionally do. You decide to do. You know, the Lord is our example. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's the ultimate act of love. It is the ultimate act of reaching, that God came to earth, that Jesus left everything to come and to reach us. He became a man so that He could die on a cross to take away our sins. But He came to seek and to save that which was lost and to reconcile us to God. Isn't it good to know the Lord? I mean, to know the love of God, to know His peace, to know His joy. How wonderful it is to know God. And around us, there are people that don't know what we know and don't have what we have. And what a joy it should be for us to realize that we are Christ's ambassadors, that we're the ones that He has chosen. We are His body. And it's up to us to share the good news. We're His hands reaching out to a hurting world. I want to read this to you from 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. And I'm going to read this from the NIV. It says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." I got to tell you, Jesus is not coming back to win the lost. We're it. There's not a plan B. He's going to use His people as His ambassadors to represent Him and to reach the world. I know that sometimes believers are hesitant to reach out, to share their faith, to talk to others about the Lord because they're afraid of rejection. Do you know that Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he didn't tell them that everywhere they go, everybody's going to like you? You know what he did tell them? He said, if you go to one place and they reject you, you know what you're supposed to do? Go to the next place. That's what he said. Now, there's, you know, one place where he says, shake the dust off your feet. But I'm just telling you, here's what he said to do about that. Go to the next place. Don't focus on the rejection. Just get on with it. Go to the next place. Somebody not ready to receive the Lord, somebody doesn't want to talk to you, that's okay. Go to the next place. I just wished that most Christians were as good at talking about the Lord as they are about politics. There it is. You want to change the world? Talk about Jesus. You want to change somebody's life? You want to change somebody's opinion? People argue and argue and argue over politics and nobody changes anybody's mind. Let me tell you what will change people's mind. Jesus. Talk to people about Jesus. That ought to be what we're always talking about. Whether it's with our lips or what we post on social media, we need to be talking about Jesus. That's what the world needs. I'm preaching really good right now. This is where we live, and I'm just telling you, we're supposed to be reaching the world. That's just safer to talk about politics. We just get mad and argue. Talk about Jesus. Somebody might not like me. Get on with it. Because if somebody doesn't want what you have, I'm telling you, the next person does. Jesus said, the harvest is ready. It's white. He said, don't say 4 more months and then the harvest. He said, it's ready. And we need to always remember, the harvest is ready, and there are people that are ready to be reached. You know, we're not trying to force our religion on somebody. But we need to be sharing what we have. They need what we have. We want people to know that God cares about them. And we need to be reaching out to them. You know, I said it's easy for churches to become inward focused, but it's easy for us as individuals to become inward focused, where we just see what we need to get done today, what we want, and we see our affairs and our business, what we need to do. And in the process of that, sometimes, and I think it's especially true in a metropolitan area like we live, where we pass by so many people and we don't really see people, we don't really see the needs of people. And there's so many today that the Bible calls lovers of themselves. It says in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, in the last days will be terrible times. Men will be lovers of themselves. And we certainly live in that day. People think about themselves, they talk about themselves, they love themselves, but listen, we need to be thinking about God's purpose and what He wants. We need to be seeing the needs of others, looking on the needs of others. Bob mentioned in the offering Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6, Jesus says, don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. He says, after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's amazing how God can bless you, how God can make things fall in place for you, how He can just do things in the background and set things up for you that you couldn't have ever gotten done on your own. And here's what He requires of us, is that we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And I'm just telling you, when we really put His cause first, you say, oh, but I got to take care of my own business. Listen, you let God use you to reach somebody else, He'll take care of you. He'll make a way for you. But we need to remember His kingdom, what He wants, His purpose, what's really important to the Lord. You know what's really important to the Lord? What? People. That's it. It's the only thing in this world that matters to the Lord. People. The only thing down here going up there is people, and specifically His people. Only thing down here going up there is people. Listen, the people that don't know Him are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And everything else is going to burn. Everything else is going to burn. None of it's going to matter in eternity. I'm telling you, the only thing that really matters to the Lord on this earth is people. You know, if you were leaving your family, your friends for the last time, you'd want to say something important. And that's what Jesus did when He said, go into all the world and make disciples. That's what was really important to Him. In Luke 15, 1, verses 1 and 2, it tells us this: all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Him to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. He then tells the parable about the shepherd that leaves the 99 righteous persons who don't need repentance. And he goes and he searches for that one lost sheep. Then he tells the parable about the widow who had 10 coins and lost one, and she searched diligently until she found it. And each time he tells us that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Listen, the Lord loves it when we come together and we worship Him, but I got to tell you, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one life being changed. Y'all really quiet right now? Well, as Jesus said it, than over 99 who don't need repentance, He said there's more rejoicing over that one. It brings joy to our Father. And we need to have His perspective, how He sees things. We need to understand His will. Many of us have been taught and preached to over and over and over. We've heard so much. We know so much. We have so much. We can go to church 2, 3, 4 times a week and not share our faith with anybody. We got to make up our minds we're going to be reaching, looking for an opportunity to reach somebody. Share what we have. You ever seen a TV commercial? Well, it's been a while now, but the TV commercial where they used to advertise the city of Las Vegas and say that what happens here stays here. That's not supposed to be that way about church. No, we're supposed to share it. We're supposed to tell everybody. Listen, this is good. What we have is good. I mean, the Lord is so good to us. We need to be telling people how good the Lord is. You know, that's not what most people in this world think about God. We need to tell them. We need to let them know how good the Lord is. Romans 1, 14 through 16. This one's in the NIVs. Paul says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. In verse 14, he says, I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, to wise and to foolish. That word obligated, in the King James, it's debtor. Paul was saying that he has a responsibility. He's obligated. It's upon him to reach those people. We need to know this. We might not be an apostle, we might not be an evangelist or missionary or a pastor, but every one of us, as a child of God, we have an obligation. We have a responsibility to share our faith and to reach other people, to help people come to know the Lord. Some people, I think especially now in our generation, when it appears that in the signs of the time that it must be getting soon, I think people think, well, why doesn't the Lord just hurry up and come back? I can tell you why. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's really only one reason that he waits. Because he doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. He is not willing. It's not his will for people to go to hell. Not his will for people to spend eternity in the lake of fire. It's his will that they come to a place of repentance. That's what he desires. That's his will. And we have an obligation to try to reach out to those people. What is more important than reaching another soul and seeing a life changed? In Romans 1:15, Paul said, that is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you in Rome. And that word eager means that there's a passion there. It's something that he really wants to do. We need that in the church, in the body of Christ today. We need that eagerness, that we're looking forward to it. How do you get there? Well, eagerness has to come from the heart. I don't think it's something you can just necessarily work up. No, to really have that heart to reach people, we need to pray. You can pray according to Ezekiel, take away the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. You say, oh, pastor, I don't have a heart of stone. Listen, I think a lot of Christians today see the lost as their enemy. It's us and them. I understand that they need the Lord. I understand that they may be wicked and ungodly, and they may persecute you, and they may mistreat you. But I want to tell you that Jesus never saw them as the enemy. He came to seek and to save those very people. And some of the ones that he reached were worse than the ones you know. And so we need to pray for the lost. And we need to pray that the Lord will give us a heart for the lost like he has. We need to see people without the Lord, how desperately they need him, that they're without hope. Most of us forget somewhere along the way what it was like to not have the Lord in our life. We need to be reaching. Not trying to kick doors open, but I'm telling you, we need to be ready when God gives us an opportunity. We all cross paths with people that need the Lord. We got to be reaching. Need to be reaching with an expectation that there are going to be lives that are changed. So many that need the Lord. So many different needs. I want to share this with you tonight from Acts 3, 1 through 8. Most of you know the story, but Peter and John are on their way to the temple, the hour of prayer, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now I want you to know that certainly sometimes we can help people financially. And sometimes there may be some other way that you can help people in the name of Jesus. But let me tell you what we have that people really need. It's Jesus Christ. That's what they need the most. I mean, there's a lot of people out there with physical needs, and we can pray for them in the name of Jesus, just like Peter spoke healing to this man. But listen, whatever the need, the answer is Jesus. That's what they need. And here's what we need to see about this. This guy is sitting there begging for alms. Peter reaches out to him. He says, "Look on us." And he goes over and he takes the man by the hand and lifts him up. And I just got to tell you that God expects us to have that same heart. That when we see somebody who's bound, somebody that's hurting, somebody whose life is a mess, that we can reach out to them and help lift them up. Help them find a relationship with Jesus. We need to be consumed with it, where we really want to reach a generation. And we got to have compassion on people in need. I want to go back to Luke 15, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Jesus had tax collectors and sinners around him. These lost people, they're not running from Jesus. They're running to him. It says they drew near to him. They weren't avoiding him. They weren't ignoring him. They weren't hostile towards him. They drew near to him. They were eager to listen to him. And I want to tell you something. It is not because Jesus had this watered-down, soft message that tickled their ears. Anybody that thinks that's never read the teachings of Jesus. Jesus laid it out there. It didn't scare them away. They wanted to hear him. You know what I believe made the difference? Is that Jesus had compassion for those people. He cared about those people. Even though they weren't good religious folk, he cared about them, and they knew it. And I'll tell you, people need to know that we care about them. If we're going to reach people, we got to care about them. We got to have compassion for them. In verse 2, it says that Jesus was accused of welcoming sinners and eating with them. I'm telling you, he accepted those people. He didn't accept their sin, but he loved those people and he had compassion on them. We represent him. And so as we reach out to people, we need to treat them the way Jesus would. Have the same kind of love and compassion that Jesus would. Reaching. Reaching requires effort. You know, we read, or I shared with you about the two parables that Jesus told in Luke 15 about the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And in both of those, the shepherd got up and made an effort, and the widow searched diligently. And I'm telling you, that if we're going to really reach people, it's going to take effort. We have to try. We have to want to do this, and we have to do it intentionally. Reaching takes persistence. The shepherd searched until the widow searched diligently for the coin. You know what? Sometimes to reach somebody, it takes years. But in eternity, that won't matter. The important thing is that we reach. I'm glad the Lord didn't give up on me. Aren't you glad he didn't give up on you? In every generation, there is an attack of Satan against the church. If he can just get one generation to quit, it's not going to happen, because Jesus is going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But I'm telling you, there is a great attack of Satan against the church, and he is very deceptive. He wants us to be sidetracked by other issues and other things. But we need to remember what's really important to the Lord is that we reach people. We believe that there's a great harvest with children and youth, and that's why we put such a priority on that. But you know, so does the enemy. He doesn't care if they're 5 or 15. He wants to destroy their life. But I tell you, God is doing a great work among children and youth. And he is in the lives of adults too. I want to encourage you, be used of the Lord in your personal relationships. Let God use you to reach out to somebody else, to help somebody. So many people are in a great battle. The enemy of their soul is seeking whom he may devour, trying to destroy their life. And you may be the difference in their life, the difference between heaven and hell, the difference in knowing God or not. But here's what I do know for sure. The church is going to be victorious because it's His church. Amen. And we just need to do our part and be reaching, always looking for an opportunity. I tell you, there's going to be some people who one day in this life or the next will say thank you. I remember when somebody invited me to church and my life was never the same after that. I told that person just a year or so ago, I said, thank you for inviting me to church. God changed my life. And you just don't know. But someday, somebody's going to tell you that if you hadn't invited them, if you hadn't reached out to them, they might not have ever come to the Lord. They might not have ever known the Lord. What a difference we can make. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. And as we pray tonight, just let the Lord speak to your heart. And I hope that tonight that, you know, sometimes we talk about sharing our faith. I know that sometimes people, you know, feel, oh, well, I know I'm supposed to do this. And we just kind of feel burdened and maybe even condemned. And I hope you don't feel that way tonight. I hope that you know that it is such a joy and such a blessing to help somebody else come to the Lord. And don't let the enemy steal that from you. I tell you, no matter how shy you are, how weak you are, let me tell you, God can use you if you'll make yourself willing and available. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would stir the hearts of your people. Father, that you would just put inside each and every one of us that eagerness, that desire. Lord, though we may feel inadequate, we may feel like we can't do it, Lord, we know that you've given us your Holy Spirit to give us power to be witnesses of you. And I pray, Father, that in the midst of our weakness, inabilities, God, that you'll show yourself strong and use us, Lord, to help somebody else. Father, we just want to bring glory and honor to you, and we want to reach the people that you died for, Lord Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name that we'll just be about the Master's business. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you. You're dismissed.